All right, guess what? It's awesome. These two guys in white got back from... A lot of people are wearing white today. They just got back from a trip to Belize, and they're going to talk about it for us. Isn't that sweet? Awesome.
What? Yeah. Well, you're not going to talk at the same time, right? Yeah, they both do. There you go. Share.
Cool. Sweet. I'll be talking, Kevin. You be music, Kevin.
Sweet. Dualism.
Well, yep, Scotty and I got to go to Belize a couple weeks ago. We were there for just over 12 days. It was cool. We kind of went all over. This is a picture of where we first stayed, a place called San Pedro. It's an island off of the mainland of Belize. This is where they have a small ministry, a radio ministry, in an apartment complex. That's where they run their radio station that goes all over San Pedro. And that is the top of, that's the top of the building, right? Where we were staying, the top of the complex?
Yeah, that's about three stories up. And then that's the lagoon to one side of the island. And if you go to the next picture, on the opposite side, directly opposite, that's the Caribbean Sea. And so it's really cool from three stories high.
It was awesome.
See everything. It was beautiful.
Do we have more pictures of the beach?
No. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
A little bit.
That's us. We're...
No, that's Nate and you. I took the picture.
Okay. That's our that's a friend, Nate, that we met. He works in the radio station, does kind of all the technical computer work. And he's a really cool guy with a cool story. He's from Orange County, and he was kind of a washed out, you know, hippie kid, and ended up finding himself in jail, and that's where he also found the Lord, and he got saved in jail, and he went to, when he got out, was it 2 years of what was it called? Wasn't Bible, or wasn't...
I think it was School of Ministry.
School of Ministry, yeah. And then he took a trip to San Pedro and kind of saw the radio ministry they were doing. He just felt like he should be there. So he told Clive, is the guy who was kind of our main contact there in Belize. He oversees the radio station there. And he told Clive, you know, I think I can help you guys out here. I'm really good with computers. I think I should do this. And Clive was kind of like, all right, well, you can pray about it, you know. And then, but, you know, it ended up working out. And he got there probably like 5 or 6 weeks before we did. And it was really cool. Well, this is kind of the main thing that God showed Scotty and I when we first got to Belize, and just kind of magnified even more when we left, was that when you go across the world, or you go, it doesn't matter the distance, when you find somebody who has the same common love that you have in your lives, that drives your life, drives theirs, that it... time does not apply, is not in the equation of a close friendship and real love, because we love this guy, and we only spent like a total, we only talked with him like a couple hours, like one night. The first night we didn't really talk to him, we were just kind of busy, and then the second night we just hung out and talked till like 12:30,
and we had like, fried jacks.
Yeah, there's these things called fried jacks that he took us to go get. It's like this little hole in the wall, like literally a hole in the wall. I'm not kidding. There's just construction everywhere. It's just this little tiny place, and they're kind of like deep fried tortillas with like burrito chicken stuff. So good. Anyways, if you ate a lot of those, you would die. We only had three. But you know, we only spent a real evening and a day. We went snorkeling with them the next day, and we were in love with this guy. He was our brother. And it was the weirdest thing, you know, that we got so close that we were actually talking to Clive, and because we were leaving San Pedro that next day, and we weren't supposed to see him again. We're like talking with Clive and trying to manipulate the schedule, and like, we got to get Nate on the mainland so we can, you know, at least have one more day with this guy. We love him so much, and it ended up happening. So we got to have one more day with Nate, and it was just so cool that it was just instant, you know, connection. And, you know, it reminded me of, you know, when Jonathan saw David, it said that his soul was, he loved David's soul. It was just bound to him. That he was just, you know, best friends for life. And a lot of relationships like that took place while we were down there in Belize, that, it was just, you know, this real simplistic love that we walked into. And families just took us in and treated us as their own family. And they're like, had this, we found this sign-up sheet that we really probably weren't supposed to see. It didn't really apply to us, but it was, they passed it around to the church of, you know, Scott and Zane, you know, meals. And it was, people would sign up of who would get us for lunch, who would get us for dinner every single day we were there. And, you know, they were just kind of passing us, you know, back and forth and just, you know, arguments over who got Zane and Scott next, you know. But it was just, it was so cool. And they just looked up to us like we were, you know, some huge, you know, something to really behold. And we're just, the whole time, we're just humbled and looking up to these guys who are just, they got it. They have it, you know, almost, they're acting out exactly what Jesus said, is to go and make disciples of all nations and to love one another as you love yourself. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we really felt by all these families that took us in Belize. But that's us. That was so cute. That's the plane ride, the short, like 15-minute plane ride from Belize to Belize City.
And that's or blurry. That's the church.
That's a really good picture, Scott.
Thank you. I shook it a little bit so that it would look like. No, I'm just kidding. We actually visited three churches while we were there. We were there for that purpose, to teach and just to exhort in a few different churches. That'll be in a second. and so that church that you just saw was a church actually in the middle of the jungle, like about 50 years ago. A group of Mennonites that moved that are from Germany and Holland had kind of immigrated like all over the world. And they eventually found themselves in Canada, and 50 years ago they moved down to Belize and just carved out this little niche like in the middle of the jungle, just a couple thousand acres. And this is this one of the, a church that they had recently started like 5 years ago, and a fellowship that they had been part of before that had been really legalistic in a lot of its actions, like so much so that they took verses out of context, like "Be still and know that I am God" to mean that there is no worship musically, no singing, nothing like that in a church service. And so it was really neat because again and again we just realized that just the birth of life in these people, that for them, like they had this kind of motley crew of musicians that didn't really have any idea how to play music, goofing off, and nothing near the voices that we have here, and nothing near the stylistic abilities and music that we have. And it's like so often here in the States, it's so easy to kind of complain, "Oh, I'm sick of this worship song. It only has four chords or three chords," you know? And it's like, I find myself doing that. But there, it's like, they have like two chord songs or three chord songs, and it's all the same stuff that I've heard again and again. But for them, it's like life. They can sing. And it's the whole world of difference to them. And so it really humbled, like Zane was talking about us experiencing a lot of humility, it humbled me in the sense of realizing that if I, in this place, in this church, with musicians that definitely do not know what they're doing, playing music that I would never call very good music, and I can truly worship in this place, then why would I ever have an attitude of negativity towards anything of worship? And realizing that you can worship in any situation, in any place, any time, with anything that's given you. And so that was a really humbling thing, is just this, they're just giving everything they have into the Lord. It's not a concept of whether or not they're good at it. It's a concept of where their hearts are. And so in that place, it was just truly beautiful, as so many people are being raised up and they're new in their faith, and they're just acting out of just pure obedience and love. And then this right here is actually a mansion. It's not in the Mennonite community. It's outside the community, and it's just this gigantic mansion, and it's in the middle of the jungle. Like,
that's,
kid you not,
our bedroom window, by the way. It was awesome.
And you have to take a dirt road to get there. And while you're sleeping, you have to make sure like poisonous snakes and scorpions and gigantic spiders don't get into your bed. Like, it's ridiculous. It's like, it's in the middle of the jungle, and every day they find spiders and snakes like that can kill you, like creeping throughout the house. And so as beautiful as it is, it's also treacherous, much like most of life. No, I'm just kidding. And so this is a picture. The next one is very similar. Just beautiful, beautiful. Like, that's all just jungle. You can go to the next one. This is another church we visited. It's down in Belize City, one of the most crime-ridden cities I've ever been to, like outside the church during services all the time. They hear gunshots. The pastor was saying outside of his house he heard 14 just a couple days prior. It's like constant crime, constant murderings, constant, just constant. And this church is actually in the worst part of the city, the worst part. And it's just beautiful because it's like this place just teeming with life, and they're holding this fundraiser here for some different causes that they're doing. And here in the middle of like the worst part, one of the worst parts of the world, they're just thriving and life is teeming, and the youth are just receiving. The youth are just totally coming and worshiping. It was beautiful.
It was really cool, and you know, as I was back there listening to the song, of just it just had the imagery of light, and you know, that's something that their pastor Joel, that's something that he just really is instilling in these kids. I mean, there's probably about 50 people that go to that church, and 30 of them are high school age kids. That they're the ones that are coming, they're the ones that are bringing their friends, they're the ones that are bringing their parents, and it's just growing. And his heart and his passion is that we, being created in God's image and God being creative, that we don't have to just conform to society, and we don't have to resist society and be completely weird people, but we can actually create a new society by just being examples, that we can change the standard, we can change the society around us, and they're doing it. I mean, their church is growing, the kids are coming, and people just walk by, and you know, at that fundraiser, people were just walking by, just, you know, they wanted to be a part of it, and some of them, you know, got off their bikes and became part of it. And that's the ministry that they're doing. When people, I don't know the exact name of the location of that part of town, but when I've heard it a couple of times, and when people find out that that's where their church is, it's like, what? Why would you ever even go there, let alone start a church there? And it's just so cool, because that's where his heart is. That's where the kids that he fell in love with, the kids that fell in love with them, it's Joel and Denise 5 years ago, that these are the kids that are changing this society in what we would call the worst part of town. That's where God is starting his foothold in that kingdom of that place in Belize City. And it was just really cool to see that. We've talked about that, as you know, to be the example and to change society, to change the standard. And it was so cool to be a part of a community that is, you know, doing it in under the worst circumstances.
Like just a couple of years ago, this what is a fellowship hall now, was like a hideout for a lot of gangs to kind of do their drug exchanges and just all kinds of things. It's just filled with trash and graffiti all over it. The building to the left there is the children's ministry, and as of recently, it's acquired some bullet holes. Like, that's how at home crime is in this society. Like, this is how used to it. They have bullet holes in their children's ministry building. Just a few weeks before we got there, Joel's wife Denise had been riding her bike with a friend, one of the girls that we met, through town, through one of the safer parts of like the crowded city, and these guys run up to them and force them off their bikes and throw them onto the ground and punch one of them in the head and steal all their stuff. And it's just common, like this is normal, and she's just talking about it like you would on, you know, the 5 o'clock news. Yeah, this is what happened to me, and this is how. And there's no like, oh my gosh, yeah, it just totally. She's so used to that. You just get so used to that kind of lifestyle that, like, we're there and we're like, there's bullet holes in your building. Okay, you know, and so it's just amazing to see how life can thrive in the ugliest of circumstances, which is exactly what Christ has come to do. You could just continue. These are some of the kids, some of the local wildlife children do run around there. This is in the Mennonite community. This is one of the families that hosted us. Jacob in the top left, he's the father, and he's actually the first guy that we met when we got there. He picked us up at the airport. Just really neat family. And then there's a couple more. There's these guys. Everybody has a baby. This is at the third or seven. this is another one of the churches we visited. And actually, it's some of the missionaries from this church that went down and started this church down here. And it's in like the third culture that we experienced, which is like Mayan Spanish, and it's in the middle of a city called San Ignacio, and it's really small fellowship. There's like maybe 20, 25 people, but like the kids were amazing, and Margaret, who's in the middle there on the left, her and her husband were the ones that went down there and started, and these kids were just so much fun. That's her adopted son right next to her, Corey, and it was just beautiful, beautiful people. These are some of the kids. Awesome kids. That is a mountain lion. And that was the day that Zane almost got eaten. No, I'm just kidding. One of the families there has this as a pet. It's a 6-month-old mountain lion. And I'm like, wow, you guys have pets or animals as pets that we keep our children and dogs as far away from in our communities. But you can go to the next one. Or like kids are playing with it. A couple of the little kids started crying because it's a gigantic cat. And those are kind of scary. And it was wrestling with the dog, and that was just like the perfect picture. It posed for about 2 seconds before they started fighting again. Okay, this picture has an explanation also. That monkey in the background is another person's pet, and it is the most jealous monkey in the world. Like, if you touch somebody, it starts freaking out. Like, one of the kids was all, you guys, Scott, Zane, hug, and we're like, why? They're like, just do it. And so we do it, and the monkey starts freaking out, and they're like, well, we're like, what's going on? And they're like, it gets jealous if you give anything else attention. And so I had to sneak over while they were distracting it. Zane's distracting it on the other side, because I want to get a picture of the rabbit. And so look at the rabbit. I've never seen that much fear in an animal's face, because it's going, you have no idea what's coming. And so before I could, like shots, this is how quickly, picture. Before I could get the second picture, this happened. Bam! From that side of the cage to my face before I could take a second picture. And that thing was screaming. Just like King Kong or something. You can go to the next picture. It looks like a Pokemon in that one. And the next one. Some angry monkey until you give it an orange.
The monkey's name was Rascal, by the way.
You give it an orange, it's happy. Oh, I just thought that was
a
picture.
That's a building.
That's the church. This is, go ahead, Zane, I've talked forever.
This is a Monday night, it's called a basics class. It's what Clive started with these kids probably about 5 or 6 weeks before we got there, 4 weeks before we got there. And basically it's just a new believers class for anyone who recently just got baptized or gave their life to the Lord. And so there's these four kids that show up consistently, or at least the ones that we met. The one on the right is Conroy. He's one of Jacob and Margaret's sons. That Jacob was the first one that we really met, and they housed us. And one of the most incredible families. Conroy is one of the coolest kids. He's 14, and he's the one that kind of chauffeured us around. He drove us around and picked us up in his mom's car and stuff. He's allowed to drive there, you know, just because, I don't know. And he took us around on his four-wheeler, and he's just a cool kid, just has an amazing heart for the Lord. He's just got baptized, and he's just hungry, and he's just so cool. And then Norm is on the left, and there's a couple guys, Joel and George and Fred. They weren't there when we took this. Was the last night. They weren't there, but Norm was another really cool guy. He moved with his family from Belize to Canada, and he didn't like it. He felt like he should be back in Belize, so he moved to Belize, and his family's in Canada. He's in Belize, just working on a farm, working really hard, and it's just so cool to see God just change these kids' lives just by, you know, speaking to them in their hearts, and, you know, I remember when God did it to me, and a light bulb just came up, and was like, I want my own relationship with the Lord. And that's where these kids are at right now. And they're just so cool to get to know, just so full of love. These two kids are another example of, we didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with them, maybe a couple days at the most. And they're like our brothers, you know, we can't wait to see them again. It was so amazing. This is another family. That's Danny, his family and his kids. And it was really cool to see that window there on the very bottom. That was our bedroom window. We stayed in their basement. But it was really cool.
And you know, the cool thing with these families is, like I said, Scott and I were just so blessed and amazed at their ability to just love freely and to take us in, and the hospitality that they had, that we're just like looking up to these guys, like, this is what it's about. This is what we want to take back home to Chico, to our fellowship, of just to reiterate this, to you know, to realize that this is what it's all about. This is what blessed us more than anything on this trip, and that's, you know, how we want to live our lives. And you know, it was cool and also a little sad to see, because the only problem that I saw in these families is the fact that they kind of put themselves down because they didn't feel like they knew a lot. They didn't know a lot about, you know, theology, and they want to learn that, and it's cool that they want to learn it, but we were just trying to encourage them. It's like, you guys got it. You guys got what matters. You know, that you guys, you know the love, you know God, you love Him with everything you have, and you love us just like you love yourselves. That if you have nothing else, then, you know, you don't need anything else other than that. So if you can find a way to add all those other things to it, that's great. But I really pray that they don't sacrifice it to know more. And it was just, they're looking up to us. We're looking up to them. It's just, I think it was just how it's supposed to be.
And these are just some of the houses in various communities. There's three major cultures there. There's the Mennonites. Their German and Dutch background, and then there's the Creoles, which are of African background, and then the Mayan Spanish, which obviously have a Mayan background. And these are just different houses while driving by in a lot of the different communities. This is in the radio station Lighthouse, right? That's what it's called? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really neat because in our culture, we're really used to kind of being weary of media, like movie, like art, like religious television and religious broadcasting, and with good reason in a lot of situations, though there's still some, you know, beautiful things being done through it. But in this culture, you see, like, that before anything comes in and moves in and begins to take over for selfish purposes, that this is a culture, like, the fact that they have like a radio station that they can broadcast like worship music on, and that they can broadcast teaching on, and different things like that. Like, the people just love this, and it's such a blessing. And so it's beautiful to just realize that so often what we taint is actually at its root very beautiful. And though we once again can be kind of cynical about, oh, you know, religious television or religious radio, that there are beauties to it, and it can be used definitely for purposes of love and such. So that's Clive on the right. He we didn't know how old he was forever. We're like, this guy could be 30, or but he talks about how he's like Pastor Sam's age, and we're so like, well, he's 50 something. And so the whole time we're asking everybody, and they're like, I think he's 30. Oh, I think he's 40. He might be 60. And so we have no idea. We didn't learn until the end of the trip. I think he's like 52 or something like that, but he looks like he's like 30. He's single, ladies. I'm just kidding.
Yep.
This is after we flew from the island to the mainland. Don't worry, the monkey wasn't there. Monkey wasn't there for that one either.
Clive is a guy that we probably got the closest to, and we got to, he just kind of chauffeured us around, and just, he was the first one, the second one we actually met altogether when we took a boat from Belize City to San Pedro, and he met us there on the dock, and he took us in and housed us, and he was with us probably about 5 days. He took us everywhere, but it was just, another brother that we met, just from, you know, being so far away that we just can't wait to get back to or get him up here. And it was just, I'm still amazed at the fact that how time was not a factor in the relationships that took place, that it didn't matter, you know, while we were there, how much time we didn't spend with people, that it was supernatural love. It really was. And he's this amazing guy. We don't know who that is.
That is a background. But the cool thing, the funny thing about him is that when we first got there and Jacob picked us up, he had told Jacob to tell us this because Jacob was taking us to the water taxi. We were taking the water taxi to the island, and Clive was going to meet us on the dock at the island. And so Clive had told Jacob to tell us to look for a really tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. And so then this guy approaches us, and he slaps us on the backs and goes, Scott and Zane. And we're like, And we had been, you know, it was just crazy. And we're like, oh, what's up? And he's like, I'm Clive. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You're not just some guy hitting us on the back. All right, sweet. He's like, you looking for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy? We're like, a little bit. That's what you told us. But he was awesome. Clive was so great. I don't think there's any more pictures, right? There are none. But yeah, so it was obviously anytime, a lot of times you go someplace different than where you're from, you know, everyone always comes back with the concept of, oh, you know, we were more blessed than they were. But it's true. Like, I think when you interact with people who truly love the Lord, as you know, as we see as well here, and you walk into and you walk out of situations like that, you almost always just have to go, you know, I truly feel that I blessed more than I was, I was blessed more than I blessed, that I was loved more than I loved. And I think that that's a beautiful thing, because it encourages us to love more, to continue in that pursuit, to continue loving, to continue seeking to bless others' lives, to continue pursuing God, to continue pursuing people. And so just in this place, it was beautiful to go and just exhort and to teach and to encourage and likewise to be exhorted, to be taught, to be encouraged, to be humbled, all these things. And Zane and I, like, it was amazing for our relationship as well, just to spend time together and pray for each other and support each other just in everything that we were doing. And one of the things that they continually were, like, that Clive especially was telling us, he's like, I'm always telling people that they should really pursue godly friendships with each other. They should really pursue having relationships with people who encourage and lift them up and exhort and everything. And he's like, it's really neat, because more often I'm encouraging people who don't have it, and here that I actually get to see you guys taking part in that. And I'm just like, well, that's his fault. And he's like blaming me, and we're both just like, whatever. And so it was really encouraging to be able to have just that brotherhood in a place that was completely foreign.
And it's cool, just kind of, you know, still thinking back on our time there, the things that God just continues to speak to my heart is that there's no formula, that if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then supernatural things will happen, and that you'll be bounded, you know, by the soul of somebody that you just met is not unusual, and that nothing else matters if you don't know where Genesis is or Revelation is in your Bible, but you know how to love, then that'll be taken care of, that you got the most important thing, and to, you know, to really to ride that out and to just encourage that to love each other. And that's the only message that, you know, when we were asked to teach, you know, the only message that I had was just got to keep sharing that, you know, what he was doing to me and what was happening to me through these people is they were just loving me. They were just loving me, and that's it. And I was more blessed than, you know, I ever thought I would be. And so that's the message I had to them, is to keep doing it, to continue to love each other. Honestly, just love each other. And that's the message I have when I come back home is, you know, we're a solid group, and I'm so blessed to be here in this fellowship. And to continue in what we're doing and is building these relationships and strengthening the ones that we have, and to just continue to love each other, and everything else falls into place. It really does. It's been cool.
And just one last thing that just kind of came to mind is we mentioned it there as well, but what we are doing here with song and with teaching and everything is worship. And we even take that to the point of calling, like, especially the musical part, we call that worship, you know, worship music, and we're singing worship, and we're told to do that. We're told to sing and shout worship to the Lord and sing psalms and hymns and such to each other. But one of the best forms of worship that we have is love, is loving God and loving each other, and doing that in practical and supernatural ways as well. And as this kind of bleeds out into what Kevin had said, I think a week, or it might have even been 2 weeks before we left, he just said, our God is in the habit of receiving worship when we love each other. And that was just kind of a prevalent thing for both of us the entire time. And so we leave you with something he already told us. All right.